Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Appco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. With me today is my co-host, my PIC, partner in crime, Eric Haregi or Haregi?
Haregi. But it doesn't matter. As long as you make the effort to say it, I'm in.
Well, we can talk. That could be a whole nother episode of how do you say my last name, right?
Love it.
Please welcome our guest, four-time Forward guest, Sean Armour. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What's going on, boys?
Doing wonderful, man. Sean, four times? I mean, we should have like championship rings for every time you're on, right? You'd have four titles right now. Hey, Sean.
The real champions are the people watching. The real champions are the people absorbing this information. The real champion are the people that are following you guys, subscribing to your show. Corey, you've created just this awesome thing that I believe at the beginning probably started off as an idea, and now look at you today. So, man, I'm just so blessed to be here. Four times.
I'll tell you, Sean, having you on made it a whole lot easier, and my juices started getting flowing, right? And the evolution of this podcast from where we started, which was only 5 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
I think Ron was our first guest, and then Eric and Joe are the second guest, and it started evolving. And now we talk about automotive, we talk about power sports, we talk about marine, we talk about RV, service, sales, F&I, new technology, all that stuff. So this episode is going to be titled BDC Mastery, Sean Armour on transforming not only fixed ops, but also sales performance.
So I know that there's people that have heard you three times, but there's people that haven't heard you at all. And you know what? I still love hearing it all the time. So tell our audience a little bit about you, your title, and the company you work for, Sean.
Yeah, for sure. So first things first, my name is Sean Armour. I'm here in Montreal, Canada. I've been in the automotive industry for a little over two decades. Similar to many people, I got into this by accident. Graduated in fashion marketing. Explains the jacket. Graduated in fashion marketing and couldn't find work at the time. So my little brother at the time was working for one of the larger dealer groups here in Montreal. It was a Toyota store. And, you know, I was 25, 26. I went up to him. I'm like, listen, you know, I just graduated, can't find work in my field. I'll take anything. Are they looking for anybody at the dealership? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, they're looking for washers. And then I said, I don't care. It's not who I am. It's my circumstance. So I was always, you know, I grew up in a household. My mom, you know, divorced. Dad left at an early age. She had three boys, and we really had to learn very, very quickly how to show up and just get it done. And one of the things to this day, many things that she taught me, but one of the things to this day that is just I incorporate into my business is work ethic and integrity, right? When I did get the job, funny story, showed up to the interview with the service manager today. Can you believe that 24 years later, we still joke about it, but I literally showed up in a suit and tie.
Love it.
for a washer position at a Toyota store at the service. And he said, he was looking at me, he was just kind of chuckling. He's like, you do realize that this is for a washer position, not sales. And I'm like, absolutely. But in order to be successful, one must portray an image of success. And while I am washing cars, I don't see myself as a car washer. This is the door in. This is the opportunity. This is the gateway into this industry. And if this is what it is, I'm going to show up. But just remember one thing. I am going to be the best damn washer you have ever seen. And I'm going to set that bar. And the rest is history. I went from washer to porter. I went from porter to doing service appointments for 4 years. That led me to being a service advisor. From service advisor, I went to service manager. From service manager, I went back down because I tip my hat to any service manager out there. What a job. It's actually literally coming at you from every angle. So that's where I stumbled on this thing that we called at the time BDC. I'm dating myself, so this is a little over 20 years ago. We had no idea what the hell this thing was. But what I did know is that it was an amalgamation of all of the attributes that I've ever learned under the rooftop. So it brings together everything, you know, operational efficiency, strategy, creativity, appointments, setting the guest experience, but understanding all of these positions that I held under the, on, you know, coming up in my ascent, if you will, I actually incorporated those so that I could speak the tech language. I could speak the service manager's language so that now today, my company, BDC Alchemy Coaching and Consulting. So I basically assist dealerships in architecting or restructuring revenue generating BDCs. And how am I able to do that? Is because I speak the same language. So in my coaching, when I'm coaching someone on how to make appointments, I incorporate what making a bad appointment looks like and what it actually does to the store. So there's a lot of different elements that came about, and I've been doing that now. BDC Alchemy Inc. is my business, and I've been doing that now for 4 years. And it's literally brought me all over the world. I've consulted with dealerships in Germany, Poland. 97% of my business is in the States, Texas, Chicago. I'm all over the place. And obviously here in Canada.
That's awesome. That is amazing. Awesome.
Isn't it, Corey?
4 years. This is, pause for a second. 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I say that, it's kind of crazy when you think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
pretty
awesome.
Nuts. Yeah, and it goes really quick. But next thing you know, you come up for air and you're like, what? I've been doing this for 4 years on the show 4 times. So, yeah, it's been pretty crazy. And you know what? The trajectory, I guess, because I really believe in energy and, you know, universe and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of interesting because it's kind of pulling me in the direction. I'm doing conferences. Like, I'm not trained speaker. But as I was saying when we were offline, as long as you stick to your integrity, you stick to your values, and you stay in your lane. I understand that AI is the next emerging thing, and we'll talk about that later. And I understand that ChatGPT could speed up what we do. But if you fake it till you make it, what do you think happens when real life problems happen? And this is why I've been one of the most sought after BDC consultants / coaches, is because I stay in the trenches and I don't rely on ChatGPT to give me the information. I use the 24 years of blood, sweat, and tears and my failures to provide people with solutions.
So Sean, when you said a word, if there was a ringtone for winning money and money sounds, this, when you said one word, when you were speaking right now, it just started making that sound inside of my head. And that was the word efficiency. All right. So one of the things that I want to ask you, and I want the audience to hear about this, is how can BDCs play a pivotal role in enhancing service department efficiency and improving the customer experience?
Okay. Well, those are two amazing questions. So let's start off with efficiency first. I'm going to say, unfortunately, it's not too unfortunate, but unfortunately, I'm called upon not necessarily when things are going wrong, but when the roof is on fire. It's like, we've had this problem now for a little over a year. Sean, can you solve it in a month? The answer is no, but but I could solve it pretty quickly. So with regards to efficiency, the number one thing that I've seen is historically, the BDC has always been created as a silo, separate from the departments that they serve. The daily initiatives are not in line with operational efficiency. The daily initiatives are not in line with growth. Oftentimes when I'm coaching, one of the first things that I do is I recalibrate the BDC manager's thought process. What is an RO? What's shop supply? What's EHG? What's efficiency, productivity percentage? They need to understand what makes efficiency tick, right? So when you're booking an appointment, you're not just booking an appointment. There's human beings behind this. Can you imagine that you're just booking whatever at any time and people are coming in? There's a service advisor that's getting customers every 15 minutes. And the easier that we make it on the phone is the easier life that we're making for the service advisor.
Hey, it's not Sunday, but preach.
So how are we creating a silo? How is the BDC off somewhere in the dealership, all the way in the back, stuck in some kind of office with mops and the work order boxes, and they don't even know what's going on? you need to dial in your BDC with regards to the daily initiatives of the service department. What does that look like? A couple of freebies for the people watching. A couple of metrics. In order to establish a revenue generating BDC, because just remember, BDC is not a call center, because BDC is not the goal. It's not. The BDC should be the vehicle that gets you to the goal.
Put that on a t-shirt.
And if it's not doing that, it is no longer an investment. It is a cost. Right? So by dialing in the BDC and being very surgical, what is its core functionality? What is it responsible for? Couple of things. With regards to bonus plans, if ever someone's wondering, like, how can I even incentivize this? Funny enough, I had this three dealers this week ask me for pay plans and bonus plans. And the way I'm presenting it, they're like, dude, I've never seen this before. This is really different. And I'm like, it's not really different. It's pragmatic and thought out. It brings people together. So the first thing that you want to do is, it's not going to break the bank, but it's going to provide growth. So what I'm expecting from a BDC is a 5% year over year uptick in customer pay and warranty ROs. We did 100 last year that came from the BDC, 100, you know, work orders. This year we need 105. Now, of course, that doesn't sound like a lot, but as you get into the 700, 800, 900 work orders a month, even some dealers 1500, that 5% is not small anymore. So you can take that 5%, you multiply it by the door rate, and then boom, there you go. So a 5% year over year uptick, that's definitely what we're looking for. Number two, can we stop for once incentivizing on activity? Because you can be going nowhere real quick. People need to understand, and one of the things that I really cement into my BDC manager's mind is, do not confuse movement with progress. I'm going to say that again. Do not confuse movement with progress. So it's very important to understand that activity, although it is very important, I could book 100 appointments, but if my show ratio on 100 appointments is 30, 40, 50, even 60%, again, I am a cost. So instead of doing it on activity, you should look more for show percentages and start the bidding at 85%. So now what we have is a 5% year over year uptick increase coming specifically from the BDC appointments, as well as an 85% minimum standard show. It just start there. So we're creating business and we're making sure that the business shows up, and we're teeing it up for the advisors to do their work as well as the technicians to show their greatness. So with regards to operational efficiency, that's how I would answer it.
Okay. I like that. Now, you talked about this when we started the show, is that I've made some mistakes and I've learned from some of those, and I bring those to the to the people that I'm coaching and training, right? And that's raw and real, because if you don't sit here and say, I've made mistakes. I was just in class yesterday and I said, and it was, I was joking, but I was really serious. I make more mistakes more than the normal person before they even get out of bed, right? I love making mistakes because that makes me grow. So yeah. Talking about mistakes, what are the most common mistakes service departments make when integrating a BDC into their operations, and how can they avoid these mistakes?
Yeah. Well, the first real mistake is the pay plan. I could tell you that right now, just the way the pay plans are structured. Again, not to be cynical, they don't know what they don't know. But by incentivizing, let's just say, on activity or a number of dials or a number of calls. Okay, great. It is a metric, but it's a weak metric because it doesn't move the needle. So the first things first is the pay plans, performance-based pay plans that are not in line with the initiatives of the service department's success. We have to remember that the BDC, Business Development Center, the BDC needs to develop business. Those incoming calls, yeah, that's low-hanging fruit. I mean, they would have called, maybe they wouldn't have called. I get it. But the real beauty in the development part is your outbound revenue-generating campaigns. So the first things first would be a solid pay plan. Solid performance-based pay plan in line with the initiatives of the service. And the second one is to have surgically dialed in outbound revenue generating campaigns. And then the third one, which I see, and most importantly, I would say, is documented processes.
Ooh.
Documented processes.
He's speaking my love language, people.
Speaking the language when it talks about...
So every single dealership, dealer group for the last 24 years that I've been working with, anybody that calls upon me, I literally leave them when we're done, when the gig is over or the consulting is over, they literally have what I refer to as the BDC Bible.
Ooh.
Every single thing that we do is documented. We call it SOP or standard operating process. And I mean for every single thing that we do. So the way that I coach that to the BDC managers is that, listen, guys, Corey, do you build BDCs? Yes or no?
No.
Eric, you know of BDC, but can you run one and build one and set it up?
If I'm taught by Sean Armour, yes.
but would you be able to run one, build one, and coach one and get one to success?
Today, no.
Okay, great. So the angle that I take, that we take to make things easier, is in your document, Corey and Eric should be able to walk into your office and read the document and have a working understanding of what we do. That is what a documented processes provides.
Corey and I speak about this all the time, about documentation. If it's not on paper, it doesn't happen, right?
Correct.
And the way I like to talk about this is, imagine taking a journey. Let's say I send you from, I'm going to talk about Corey's favorite basketball team. Let me say I send you from Boston to LA, right? And I give you a map and I say, here, go. But the map or the road has no directions. You just have to figure out what roads you're on.
Mm.
That's documentation. That's leadership there. That's making sure that when you're leaving somebody with the training, right? I could train you all day long how to get from Boston to LA. I could talk to you about it until I'm, 48 hours nonstop. But if once you get on the road, there's no map, nothing written down. There's no signs on the street. How are you going to get there?
Well, because, this is such an amazing transition. So as the saying goes, it's about the journey, not the destination. It's about the journey, not the destination. That's what leadership is. That's what consulting is. That's what coaching is. It's about the journey, not the destination. In this particular case, because we're in a business aspect, let's talk about the destination and let's just recalibrate that word for purposes of this conversation. Let's call them results. We are a results-based ecosystem. Now, again, not to be cynical, because I love the automotive industry. It's given me everything that I have. Yet, at the same time, it's also taken away a lot. So it's kind of paradoxical. But I just love it, right? But when we're talking about results, okay, because we're a month-to-month business, it's not like a typical business where it's quarters, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. We're a month-to-month business. So we're governed by a different subset of stresses. We're governed by a different subset of anxieties. That completely contaminates the ability to connect with our people from an emotional experience, or let's call it what it is, emotional intelligence. Because we don't have enough time. We got to go fast. Go ahead.
Yep. You said something right now, and we mean the same thing, and I say it a little bit different, and I call it, we're in a performance-based environment.
Correct.
And our game is one game at a time. It's every 30 days. I don't see nothing wrong with it, because as long as I have the mindset and I understand that we're in a performance-based environment, you can't expect to start on a team if you're not performing to whatever the benchmarks are.
Correct.
And being on this team requires you to be, and that's one of Corey's favorite power words, but it requires you to be at a certain level so that the entire team can perform. And every single quarter, half, whatever you want to call it, is based on a 30-day number. So one of the things that we speak about all the time is follow-up, right? Follow-up, follow-up, follow-up. Well, what role does follow-up play in the BDC success? And what best practices ensure customers keep coming back for service?
The follow-up from a great question, by the way. The follow-up from a B2B perspective is critical. Similar to life, which is, and I know I make a lot of these connections, but it's so real if you really strip it down and think about it. Life gives us the test first and the lesson after. Life gives us the test first and then we get the lessons after. So by the time we learn the lesson, the test is already gone. Yeah. You understand? So it's completely opposite from how we used to learn in school, where we would get the lesson, you go to class, you learn, and then we get a test in 2 months. This is the complete opposite, similar to the car industry, right? We're thinking we're doing a great job. We're doing the guest experience. We're dialed in. We have all the technology. We're doing our morning scrums. We're doing our morning meetings. We think that the advisors understand exactly where they need to be, et cetera. However, when that customer leaves, right? So like on average, what we're asking advisors to do 12 to 15 appointments an hour, right? Is that typically the average what we're seeing?
12 to 50 appointments per hour.
12 to 15 appointments. 12 to 15 appointments per day. Said that wrong. Sorry. 12 to 15 appointments per day is roughly the average to get an optimal CSI.
That's the new average because it used to be 15 to 18, but now our business is demanding that number to require, again, more attention to people. So you are absolutely correct. 12 to 15 is starting to become the new normal.
So Sean, how can dealerships use data from their BDCs to identify trends?
Well, this is exactly, but I was getting there, but excellent question. Let's come back to it. The follow-up. On every single follow-up call, there should be some kind of a summary sent back or some kind of a data or some kind of a report created by the BDC with regards to each and every single call. So I'll take, for example, Corey has 5 appointments all day today. Eric has 5 appointments all day today. That's a total of 10 appointments. The BDC should call all 10, governed by the specific behavior that the service manager wants to see. So these questions that you should give the BDC, because I surgically create these models. So what's important to you as a service manager, Corey? What would be 2 questions that you would want to know? What are 2 things that you would absolutely want to know? And Eric, start thinking of your 2. But Corey, what are 2 questions if you were a service manager right now that you would want to know that make sure that your customers are well served? What's question number 1?
Are you waiting?
Correct. Were they served in an adequate time frame? What's the second question?
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Put me right on the spot.
On the spot, baby, because that's where we live. Okay, I'll get back to you. Eric, give me 2 questions if you were a service manager right now, and it cannot be what Corey just said. Give me 2 questions that you would want to know as a service manager to measure how well your service is navigating. Question one
would be, for me, I want to know outside of the vehicle, tell me something that's important to you so that we can make sure that whatever is important to you is important to us.
Great. You're on the phone with me and I'm telling you your coffee is too cold. I would like premium coffee. Great. Number 2. Well, what's the second question?
Is what's your schedule for the day?
No, but what I mean is, like, after the fact, if I was making calls to your customers, what questions would you want me to ask on that follow-up call to ensure that your people are doing what they got to do?
On the follow-up call, I have a strong belief that when you ask somebody on a follow-up call, what can we do better? Mm. I think you're instantly installing, we left something behind. We left something short. I don't
believe 100%.
That's the way you should ask the question.
The way you should ask the question, and I love that, Eric, because I worked tirelessly to script these questions. And Corey, to your point before, I failed so many times to come up with these questions. The way to effectively answer that question, and permit me, it's my opinion, is, hi, Corey, how are you? This is Sean from XYZ Motors. I'm calling you with regards to a recent visit. Do you have a couple of minutes? Blah, 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 blah. First question, Mr. Eric, because I can't say your last name. Even I struggle with it. I'm just putting it out there, right? So I say, Mr. Eric, listen, at your last service visit, were you completely satisfied with the service you received? Oh. Completely satisfied. It kind of provides a space for them to then express, well, it was okay, but now you dig into the butt. And it's this information, it's this feedback that the BDC gets in a timely fashion that we're then able to send it to the service manager before the customer gets the manufacturer CSI.
And the psychology behind it that I've been reading on is there's businesses that are sending these questions out. Tell us something you loved about your experience. Think about that question for a second. If you're installing that, what are you letting your customers think about your business when they left? The one thing they loved, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's also very important, and we lose this. And again, because we're going to, and Corey, I didn't forget you. We're going to get back to you. But one of the things that I find absolutely amazing when I'm working with them, and we completely missed the ball in this, excuse me, is that, yes, okay, we're asking these questions. How do we improve our service? How do we improve the guest experience? I understand. But at the same time, what are we doing for positive reinforcement?
Bingo.
It's also about positive reinforcement. Corey, listen, we did 10 phone calls. Two people, you know, kind of said, you know, you were a little bit slow or your last name is really hard to pronounce. So they, when they call in, they don't know who to ask for. Okay, but your 8 other customers said that you're over the moon. Your service is amazing. Like, we need to kind of, I call those emotional deposits. As leaders, we are not responsible for the results. We are responsible for the people responsible for the results. So you have to create daily emotional deposits in your people.
I would want to ask a pertinent question about their visit, like knowing the intimate details of their visit, right? Because I think too often we ask questions that are blanketed for the masses.
Correct.
I want to dial into that.
Surgically dialed in questions.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that is on the spot, but
but this is the beauty of it, Corey. When somebody like me walks in, when I'm working with my dealer partners, I don't celebrate mediocrity. I don't celebrate mediocrity. We're doing okay. Okay, great. How can we do best? What does great look like to you? And let's attack it. So I'll give you an example. If you, the best place to start, let's give somebody something actionable. Okay. The best place to start formulating your questions to give to the BDC to do the follow-up to answer your question, Eric, was a long-winded answer, but the best place to start to give those questions to the BDC is the, where are we hemorrhaging on your CSI report from the manufacturer? Ooh. What's our lowest scores? It could be anything. It could be, it's the voice of the customer. It's the voice of the customer. Now, unfortunately, because I've been 18 years under the rooftop before starting my own business, unfortunately, if you ask me, the way that the manufacturer weights the questions on the manufacturer survey are a little bit flawed, because like one question, if someone answers no, is worth like 40% versus all the 57 other questions. It's like, okay, guys, come on. Like, come on, throw me a bone here. But if that's the case, that's the case. If that's the question that's weighing you down, well, then that's the area in which it requires intervention, and you need to start asking those questions first.
All right. I love this. And we've focused on service and fixed ops over the last 28 minutes right now. I want to shift gears and go into second gear and talk about sales. Mm. What are the key elements of success, sales BDC strategies, and how can dealerships ensure alignment with their overall sales goal?
Well, that's a heavy question. So the first question is, how do you what? Can you say that again?
What are the key elements of success, sales BDC strategy?
Okay, so BDC internet sales, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The main purpose and the main goal for success for a BDC sales or a BDC service is to understand that the core purpose of a BDC is to provide a continuous flow of traffic to both the sales and the service department. It should do a couple of things. First, it should create and drive traffic to the service department, like I just said. It should allow for a consistent customer interaction. It should improve customer communication, so no more red lights there on the voicemails. Mm-hmm. It should drive customer retention and overall improve CSI. Nowhere in there did you hear me say anything about sales. Nowhere in there did you hear me say anything about results. The results in sales are important, but the results in sales are a byproduct of those elements that I just mentioned, right? When we solve problems at the results level, it's momentary. I fundamentally believe that to make a significant and consistent impact, we need to solve problems at the systems level. So build systems. So in order to effectively create, if you will, a revenue generating BDC, we need to understand its core responsibility. And the core responsibility is not to sell cars, it's to drive traffic, it's to create relevant appointments.
So it's an arm of marketing, right? So
marketing is the message and BDC receives it. So their marketing and the BDC are hand in hand.
Okay. So what you're saying is, how can dealerships ensure alignment with their overall sales goal? Is you've got to have this part of it that you're talking about in order to make that part of your sales goal. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, absolutely not. And we should avoid the temptation of the BDC becoming all things to all people. If your BDC is structured, and it's okay, you can govern and create your BDC to fit your ecosystem. But one thing that I'm seeing is this, and I'm talking about from experience. I used to hate this. I'll give you an example out of my life. I was running a BDC for one of the largest Mercedes-Benz dealership in Canada, the highest volume dealership in Canada, excuse me. And so we had core beliefs and we were calling people in the phone skills and building empathy and creating guest experience and creating relationships. And, you know, two ears, one mouth, listen twice as much as you speak. So they're asking us to create relationships with people over the phone. Okay, great. So I have to go out and source and onboard people with those attributes. But then when their sales are lacking because of a mismanagement of whatever on their sales floor, now they show up to my BDC with a list of 2,000 people 3 days before they want to have their private sale, give me the paper and instruct me to tell my team to start dialing for dollars. So now all of a sudden you're taking people that are specialized in creating relationships, not that Glengarry, Glen Ross, ABC, always be closing. You wanted me to create something around building relationships. That's exactly what I did. But now all of a sudden, because you know, you're putting me under pressure, you're giving me a list of 2,000 people to call. And now we're asking people to just dial for dollars and put pressure and get them in. It's counterproductive. It's counterintuitive.
But Sean, I want that knife set.
Well, listen, like the Model T Ford, you could have anything you want as long as it's black.
Sean, would you say that the role of BDC is evolving with the rise of digital retail?
I mean, listen, the BDC should be in a constant state of evolution.
How can dealerships adapt?
Excuse me?
How can dealerships adapt?
By making it about trajectory and not results. By managing I'll talk from a BDC perspective. The BDC should be managed on a daily basis. By focusing on trajectory, you're kind of seeing the trends that are going on. So today, you know, March 12, March 13, whatever date is. So today, March 13th, months to date, what are we looking like? Well, you know, we're at, 10 sales when we need 50 sales at the end of the month. I'm just throwing out some numbers. Okay. The sales could be work orders or it could be hours or it could be whatever. I'm just throwing out a metric. We're at X and we need to get X by the end of the month. Okay, great. How many days of the month are left divide that by what we've done, and there's your target. So instead of waiting till like 3 days before the end of the month to establish, oh my God, we're in shit. Hey, let's print out a list of 3,000 people and start calling. Like, you're making everybody crazy. Focus on trajectory, that 1% incremental growth every single day. Because the one thing is certain. How can they adapt? Well, to get the results you've never got, you got to do the things you've never done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to do the things you've never done, you got to become somebody you've never been. So now we're talking about leadership, right? So we're talking about getting people that are seeing the iceberg before we hit it, right? So instead of maybe, and I don't want to be cynical again, but instead of maybe promoting somebody that just had the best numbers, but as is like a shitty leader, why don't we get somebody and put them in the right place at the right time?
Ooh. Do I have to pay a tariff on that comment right there?
No, that one between us is okay. One between us is okay.
We'll maybe pop my other laptop open right now and start looking. Because when you asked the two questions, I'm like, I know I've done this before. And that's how I knew the question was, what did you love about the department? Because it changes everything. And one of the second most important question that I had, because I wanted to answer that question, was, what's one of the most important things in business in any industry that we talk about is retention. The second question is, what will you come back to do business with us? However it is, service, purchase, whatever you want to do. That question is vital to our business, right? And I want to talk about that, but in the sense of, what strategies do you recommend for BDC teams to personalize their approach and build stronger relationship with their leads?
Build off of your failures. If we're constantly scurrying underfoot and trying to find new ways of doing stuff all the time, you're going to go crazy. We mentioned it before. Documented process. Document your process. We're going to try this, whatever that is for this week. Great. Eric will do 5 customers today at service or 5, you know, internet sales, and Corey will do 5. Great. That's the litmus test. So within these 10 people, let's change this one little thing, the greeting. Let's greet them outside instead of greeting them inside for these 10 people. Great. Perfect. We did that for one day. Now we got our litmus test. We have our 10. Give it to the BDC and call them. How did you like our greeting?
Huge.
You're going to get whatever feedback you need to get. And if you're not happy with the feedback, now all of a sudden you just got to do little tweaks to your process, the system that you've created. You know, and you know what, Eric? Not unfortunately, but I somewhat disagree with what you just said. Okay. Somewhat. I like where you were going with it, but I somewhat disagree with what you said with regards to ask them. What did you say? Will you come back to us or something along those lines?
And do business with us. Yeah.
That shouldn't even be a question. What? You should be focused, not you, but people should be focused on surgically dialing in the process, because we can't make everybody happy.
No.
You're going to adjust your can you imagine you're opening up 1,700 work orders in 1 month? And you ask that question to 1,700 people, is a broken telephone. How many times are you going to change your process? Find what works in general, generally speaking. Find what works, fine tune it. But once you got it, go.
Now,
I love that.
I want to hear it on both sides. Tell me why it does and tell me why it doesn't work. You told us why it doesn't work. Tell us why it does work.
Correct. By having a documented process, it does 2 of the most critical things in business. Number one, if we're failing or it shows our combustion points within the process or a person or a department, we're now weaponized with pragmatic and tangible data to fix it straight from the customer's mouth. That's number one. It gives us the ability to make improvements. Number two, and even more important than improving, it's telling us what's working.
Woo!
Amen. All right.
Sides. Awesome.
All right, Sean. All right. Like all good things, they must come to an end. And our time is almost up. We're right up against the time. I want to get into the lightning round real quick. Tell our audience, what are 3 takeaways in your mind that they can take what you're saying and put into action today?
When you prohibit failure, you kill innovation. Give each and every single employee space to express themselves and share their ideas.
Okay.
That's where your process comes from. That's number one. Number two, don't get anchored. Don't get anchored to one way of doing something. Don't just say, listen, this is the way we've always done it.
Oh my God. I'm going to break out in hives as you say that.
So that's what I mean by don't get anchored. Be flexible. Like, okay, what got us here won't get us there. It was working for this much. But like Eric said before, the auto industry is in a constant state of transition. What worked 3 months ago because of AI is not going to work today. So don't get anchored. And the third thing, can we not go back to having fun? Can we not make this fun? Yeah, I know you have fun, but go sit in a waiting room in almost 90% of all the dealerships. No one's having fun. No one's having fun. So let's go back to having fun. Let's go back to caring about each other, because this is the thing, and I'm going to leave you on this. We live in an independent society, whereas our greatest achievements require interdependence.
Ooh,
yeah.
Right. So we're heading down the avenue of AI and doing everything on our own. But we were biologically created to hunt in packs. We were biologically created, like they said, it takes a village to raise people. We've been doing this, guys, for thousands, tens of thousands of years. Right. It becomes about working together, or as most people say, a culture. Right. So.
Amen.
Let's work together towards a common goal, and let's stop dividing the BDC from sales or the BDC from service or what have you. Let's bring everybody together through alignment and understanding and love.
All right, Sean, how can people get in touch with you?
Best way would be on LinkedIn. I'm on it night and day. Also bdcalchemy.com. Visit my website. You'll see a list of all my services, how I operate, my methodology, or you can always email me at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, not S-E, S-H-A-W-N at bdcalchemy.com.
Wonderful, Sean. It's always a pleasure. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealerships. We're an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Sean, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being a guest on this episode. And I'll ask this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
For a fifth time, let's go.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.